daily podcast on the Big 12 Conference. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everybody. Josh Neighbors here, Locked On Big 12 Podcast. And joining me today, he covers Baylor for 24/7 Sports. It is Garrett Ross. Garrett, you've come back to shove it in my face about how wrong about Baylor I was. That is why you're here today. I am repping my Baylor shirt.
Nice.
So I am supporting there. But yeah, I mean, that's where I have to start. You and I talked before the season, and you have a better sense of the team than I do. But I think, you know, you were a bit higher on what their capabilities were. 6-1 though in mid October, I don't think that was on the menu, was it?
No, man. I this was a team where I kind of went back and forth. I initially was like, okay, 6-6, maybe 7-5. I thought they would drop the game to Iowa State. I thought that the game against West Virginia would be a 50-50 shot and they would get beat by BYU. Well, none of that really happened. So they've been able to take care of business. The loss to Oklahoma State, while that was disappointing, I think when you look at what the Pokes have been able to do, we kind of see that that's not a bad loss in the grand scheme of things. So it's interesting to see where they're at, and I think they are starting to kind of take the nation by storm in a sense.
Yeah, I mean, at 6-1, and they've got, you know, wins over BYU. They've got wins over, obviously, Iowa State was the big one earlier in the season. That Oklahoma State was not – that was not a nice piece of football. That was not a pleasure to watch on either side. But I will say this. That offense is a lot better than we expected it would be. And for an offensive line that really struggled last year, I mean, you bring in Eric Mateos and you bring in Jeff Grimes, and they went with the decision to go with Gary Bohannon, the quarterback who they felt like took better care of the football. And we saw last week, first interception of the year. It was a bad interception, but still, first interception of the year. And he seemed to be growing with every single game. This offense seems to be growing every single game. That's the big shock, is this has been a pretty high-powered offense at times.
Yeah, it really has. I mean, to me, I think Coach Mateos needs some sort of award for what he's been able to do with this offensive line compared to last year to where they're at now. I think we all had a sense that you had to get better, right? Like, you couldn't get much worse than where they were at. But where they've been able to grow in leaps and bounds has been really impressive. And the running game has really been crucial. You mentioned it there a little bit, but when you have Tristan Ebner, you cut him loose, and then Abram Smith being able to come over, he has been really a surprise to me. Like, I knew he was a good running back when he was at Abilene High School, but the transition last year at linebacker and putting him back into this offense has really been impressive. And Bohannon, I mean, he's doing what he's asked, right? Like, he's not going to go out there and win you a lot of games with his arm and stuff, but he's more of a game manager. But it's really solid. His personality, he doesn't really get worked up in big situations. Even up in Oklahoma State, that was an opportunity for him to – that was the first time he was in that environment. You know, he could have easily crumbled, but he showed that his maturity, his characteristics won't let him fail in those situations. So it's really kind of been nice to see him flourish, see him grow. But, yeah, I think that we're starting to see more and more – wrinkles in this offense. It's going to be interesting to see what the full potential will be as they keep implementing their schemes.
Yeah, and for them, it is that growth we talked about. Like, that's really been important for them. And it felt like, you know, the Iowa State game, like, that was a collective effort to win that game, right?
Yeah.
It felt like at that point, you know, because they had the special teams plays, obviously, the two big returns, touchdown and the one that set them up, defense getting big stops. It felt like this past week against BYU, even the moments where they were getting toasted some, it felt like their offense was up for the challenge. And it's a point now where you could honestly say, like, if they go up against a team like a Texas, right, they're going to need a few defensive stops. But I don't think anybody would be shocked if they did what Oklahoma State or Oklahoma has done, and their offensive line's pushing Texas around in the fourth quarter, and their offense is winning them that football game.
No, it'll be very similar. I mean, especially from the Oklahoma State perspective, because, you know, Spencer Sanders, he's kind of similar to what you got with Bohannon. And he can make plays with his feet. He can make smart throws. So you're going to have that aspect. When you look at Oklahoma State's running attack and how they took that approach really all year long, but specifically against Texas, and you add two running backs instead of one for Baylor and possibly three, you know, it's going to be very interesting to see. But, you know, and plus also Baylor has the off week this week. So you got that extra time to heal up and prepare going in. You have kind of like a wounded dog in Texas over there. So I'm not really sure what to expect. But I think this is a real good opportunity for Baylor to take advantage of them because they really control their own destiny at this point.
Yeah, I think the one thing we didn't really – I guess it's because we didn't really think of them as this team, but their schedule, it was especially favorable this year because they got Iowa State at home. They got West Virginia at home. Ended up being not that good, but BYU was at home. Texas is at home. Oklahoma is going to end up being at home. And the nice part for them is they never had a stretch where it was like two consecutive road games,
right?
Which we do see sometimes. They never had back-to-back road games. And for them, you know, like you talk about like controlling their own destiny, yes, they have the loss to Oklahoma State, but they do have the win over Iowa State. And also, I don't think Texas is going to be a factor here in the Big 12 title race now with two losses in the conference and still having to play Iowa State and still having to play Baylor. But Baylor also gets Oklahoma at home. And I think, you know, to me, when I look at Oklahoma, the teams are going to ask the biggest questions of them and their offense. It's going to be Baylor. It's going to be Iowa State. It's going to be Oklahoma State. Mm-hmm. So the fact that they get those games at home to me, I think it bodes well. And I know right now, no, I would say they're the team with the third best shot, you know.
Yeah.
Well, Oklahoma's got one spot, right? So it's going to be Iowa State. It's going to be Oklahoma State. It's going to be Baylor fighting for that final spot in the Big 12 title game. But, I mean, nobody's surprised at this point if Baylor shows up in Dallas. Nobody is.
No, I mean, and you can't be. I mean, you look at their resume, and like you mentioned, the schedule, all those games at home, you kind of – the Oklahoma game is going to be interesting, right? Like, because I think Casey Williams and his emergence has kind of got everybody like, okay, Oklahoma's back. You can run. You can open up that offense. But with Baylor's defense being able to – being prone to creating havoc and forcing turnovers, how is he going to be able to handle that? You know, it's really going to come down to the trenches in that game. And then also if they can contain the running back for Oklahoma, that's going to be really big as well. Brooks, yeah. But, man, it should be a lot of fun. But, yeah, I think definitely having those games at home is going to be beneficial, especially if you can create the environment that they created at BYU. You know, a lot of the times with the Baylor home games, you know, they struggled to fill the stands up. This wasn't the case at BYU. It was a sellout. There were a lot of BYU fans there, but it was fun. It felt like a big-time college atmosphere. And if they can create that, create some sort of home field advantage, it'll definitely benefit them as well.
Yeah, we're going to keep talking Baylor here. Quick word, though, from our sponsors as we do here on the Locked On Big 12 podcast. Today's show is brought to you by our friends at Prize Picks. Daily Fantasy, Garrett, for college is great. If you want to bet the over on Gary Bohannon touchdowns, which I probably would not have done and would have lost money on, you can go ahead and you can go do that at Prize Picks now. It's available in most states. You can download it on iOS or Android at the App Store today. But it's the best way to play Daily Fantasy for college. Go check that out, Prize Picks. And also our friends at rockauto.com. It is the best way to find affordable parts for your car or truck. Thousands of parts from hundreds of manufacturers. You go there today at rockauto.com. You'll find whatever you need, whatever kind of vehicle you are driving. Once again, rockauto.com. And then, you know, this is the one thing. I mean, the defense has been at times they've been had, you know, you can have his defense, but they force a lot of turnovers and they do get in the backfield. They are a defense that is aggressive. They get after you. They apply pressure and out of the two offenses, usually in a game, you're the one making mistakes, not them, because that defense just, it puts a lot of heat on you.
No, it really does. I mean, we kind of expected that when you have 10 starters returning. And I think the first few weeks of the year, the Achilles heel would have to have been the defensive line. They were still trying to find themselves. You had Apu coming over from LSU, slowly working his way into this system. But then over the past couple of games, dude, Garmin Randolph has really emerged. You have TJ Franklin. He had the strip sack in the BYU game, which Jalen Petrie recovered. They're really starting to apply pressure on these quarterbacks, and that just opens things up for that experienced secondary to sit back there and pick balls off. It's really fun to watch, and it's only going to get better as the season progresses, in my opinion.
Yeah, and their secondary, too, it's just been – they've been lights out. I mean, they've been lights out back there. And it goes to Dave Aranda. I mean, this is why, and I kind of want to get to this. Like, Dave Aranda's been mentioned for, you know, and he's their odds that he go to LSU. Now, you know, he hasn't had the amount of sustained success here, but I think Dave Aranda is such a good example of, you know, assessing what needed to be changed and making those changes and kind of evolving as he goes along. And that's why I think Baylor is kind of the perfect place for him. It really is kind of the environment where it's not that pressure cooker where it's high pressure all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, you're getting worried about being fired after a year. They're giving him the time. And this year they're a Big 12 title contender. And I'm sure every year it won't be like this, right? But this is a formula at Baylor and Waco that can work. And it's not requiring top tier talent to do it, right? He has found a system that has worked. And look, he should be the front runner right now for coach of the year in the Big 12.
No, he really should. And that was something he preached early on, you know, even in back in the when the season was getting going, about they needed to have an identity. They really had no identity last year, specifically on the offensive side of the football. But you mentioned it right there. He realized the situation. He made the necessary coaching changes, which a lot of guys might not have done that. You know, you might have said, well, we could chalk this up as a loss. We could have made excuses about not having an offseason. He didn't do that. He realized that a change needed to be made. He found the right guys for the position in Grimes and Mateos and allowed them time to put it in. And I think it just fits his personality. He can kind of embrace his faith, which a lot of these coaches do when they come to Baylor. And that might be, you know, kind of looked upon down upon other schools, but he is the perfect candidate for Baylor University. And he is building this and it's kind of taking form into his personality, which is reflected in the program.
Yeah. And I think the faith point's a really good one. You know, I think sometimes it can be disingenuous, right? Like Hugh Freeze is a guy that comes across as disingenuous, right? I mean, it's just, he's a prime example of that. But Dave Aranda, if anything, comes across as very sincere. And is not somebody that is always like, he's the, not saying the opposite of win the press conference, but like, that's just not his, it's, no. You know, he's not a podium pleaser type guy. It's not really where he thrives. He is a guy that I'm sure if you're a parent and you sit down in a room with your son, I bet of all the coaches, you're like, that is the guy that I trust the most to take care of my child and to, you know, foster an environment where they could grow. And that's important at a place like Baylor, where that was not the case for a while.
No, it wasn't. I mean, they definitely had a bad rap. And obviously, I think that even going back to before Matt Rhule was there, they did a really good job of cleaning up the mess. And Coach Aranda has been able to take over a really good, stable program. I think Matt Rhule did an excellent job of making this a stable program once again. And Aranda's kind of starting to reap the rewards of that, you know, but I think it's only going to get better. You mentioned his personality. He is a genuine person. He is somebody you want your kids to go play with. And especially if you're a defensive player, when his track record speaks for itself, you know, look what he did at LSU with those defenses at Wisconsin. He is known for being successful, and not just at the college level and wins and losses, but development, right? Like that's what we see with Texas for a long time. They've struggled. They can get anybody they want to come there, but they've struggled development. Now, I think that will change with Sark. But Aranda has a track record of being able to develop those guys, make them better, and set them up for successful careers in the NFL.
Yeah, I think it's a – Sark's kind of a good comparison, right? I mean, it's almost like, you know, Sark, whatever you want to say about the team not doing well and not finishing games, the offense has been there. I mean, it's kind of been exactly what we expected. And for Dave Aranda, you know, it's like, if I'm an NFL scout, you know, I want a Dave Aranda defensive player. That's what I want. And I think another important thing about him, too, is with this defense especially, they're a very good bend but don't break defense. I don't think Dave Aranda really cares about how many yards they give up. I think he cares about what the end result of the drive is. Iowa State game is a great example. I think there were four or five drives it was inside Baylor's 25. Four of them ended in field goals. One of them ended four in field goals, one in the interception. Like, That's what he's about. That's what he's about, pinning your ears back and getting stops. And I think that's what's allowed them to win a bunch of these games. And that's what I think is going to allow them to maybe win nine or 10 games this year. It's not out of the question.
Yeah. I mean, even, you know, and that's a really good point, because he doesn't care if you move the ball. Once you get in the red zone, he knows they're going to lock you down. You know, but even on the offensive side, that aggressive mindset, going for it on the fourth downs, on a regular basis, I think that's going to lead to, while it failed a couple times against BYU, I personally didn't like leaving 6 points out there, but it was able to work out for him in the end. But you're right, just not being scared, being able to say, you know what, we're going to put it all on the line, we're going to leave it on the field, that's kind of going to help them in the long run with their success.
One more word from our sponsors here real quickly. Is it still scorching hot down there, Garrett? Is it still hot in Texas?
It's starting to feel a little better.
A little better. Sweat block wipes, if you're still out there sweating it out during these, and some of these games in the stands, it can be a lot hotter. Sweat block wipes, check them out on Amazon. You can find them at CVS. Go to sweatblock.com. Use the promo code Locked On, LOCKEDON, Locked On. They're an Amazon bestseller. But if you're like me, out there still sweating it out, still summer in some places, go check them out, Sweat Block Wipes, right now. All right, Garrett, let's go to the final part of this. Prediction for how they finish up. The fact they're bowl eligible right now, we should celebrate this. And even if things go a little south for them in the end, I still think Baylor fans should be really pleased. But I'm not saying they should not want more. You should want more. Texas at home, winnable game. Obviously, I think I feel better about Texas at home than I do about road games. The Big 12 can just be weird. We've seen some weird ones this year that can just be weird. At TCU is a wounded animal, obviously winnable game. Oklahoma at home, tall task, but winnable game. Then you flip to at Kansas State and then Texas Tech at home. Like, they should at least win 8 games this year. And 9's not out of question. 10 is not out of question then for this point.
It's not. I think that Texas game is definitely a winnable game. When you look at – and I don't know. I just think Baylor really matches up well with the Longhorns. Bijan Robinson is really good. Can he run consistently on the Baylor defense, though? You know, the game against Oklahoma, I'm still trying to figure the Sooners out. And that's weird to say for a team that's in the, you know, like the top five and undefeated. But I think they're a lot better after making the quarterback change. Hats off to Lincoln Riley for doing that. A lot of coaches wouldn't have been able to do that. So I think that is the one game that Baylor has the biggest chance to lose. But, man, they should run the table other than that, honestly. You know, TCU, that's a rivalry game. A lot of these kids know each other, went to the same high schools. But at the same time, I think that Baylor is head and shoulders above TCU right now overall as a program. Mm-hmm. I think Kansas State, you know, it's always tough to go up to Manhattan and play. And especially later in the year. We don't know what the weather's going to do. That is something to keep an eye on. That being said, though, I still like what Baylor has. I think their depth would be the biggest difference in that game that would help them lead to a win. And then, you know, you wrap it up with Tech. It's the first time the Red Raiders have come to Waco and played at McLean Stadium. And I think that's going to be a jam-packed house, especially if you have an opportunity to, you know, like you said, get that 9th win or something against them. You know, it'll be fun, man.
What do you think they end up getting? What do you think at win number? What do you think?
I'm going to put it at I'm going to play safe. I'm going to give them 8 wins.
I wanted you to dream big there. Eight's still a great accomplishment this year.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a really good accomplishment. All right, Garrett, where can people find you and your work?
I am at @GarrettRoss on Twitter. You can go to BearsIllustrated.com. It's the 247 site for Baylor. I have articles up there, multiple articles a week. We also have the Please Bear With Me podcast as well. That's part of it. But that's where you can find me at.
All right, Garrett Ross, 247 Sports. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, man.